Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Keep It Simple podcast. We're glad you can join us today. I'm here with a couple of friends, the usual partner in crime.
Hello, I'm Tom LeCompte. Welcome to the show.
And we're also excited today. I've got a very special friend of mine in here with us today to share a little bit about his life and talk a little bit about what God's doing in his life and how Simple Church is interwoven with all that. But I want to welcome to Keep It Simple podcast none other than Mr. Jonathan Wilson, a.k.a. Johnny Delgado. How's it going, Jonathan?
Hey, doing good.
So Jonathan is a real great friend of mine and lives here in town and has been really just a super encouragement to, well, a lot of people, but certainly the Durson household. And Jonathan's involved in Skate Church and has been for ever since he's been here, really, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But Jonathan, I asked Jonathan today if he could just share a little bit about his story and kind of his life and what God's done in his life and how all that's led to him being here and what he's up to these days. So, Jonathan, why don't you just start back at the beginning and walk us through your life a little bit.
Yeah, so back in 1989, that's when I was born. And
child of the 80s.
Oh, yep. My goodness.
I had 3 days. I was born on the 28th, so or 4 days, I think. I don't know, December's 31. And, so I was born in 1989 and grew up in a family where both my parents did Campus Crusade for Christ. And it was maybe just before that, though, kind of a big part of my story is about my dad, who was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So that, with that said, a big part of my life was knowing and watching as my father slowly digressed with this disease and just the pressure and challenges that it put into my family's life. And so that kind of being said, it that has a major part of how I grew up.
And you all grew up in North Carolina?
Yeah, so yeah. I grew up in North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina, and have pretty much lived there my whole life till college and moved to Kentucky, which is now I'm here, but I'm kind of filling the gaps a little bit. So I did grow up in a Christian family, God-fearing parents, and wanted to raise their children. And I went to a Providence Baptist church and involved with youth group and I think I was even in like the kids choir for a few years and VBS and everything in between. But it's kind of funny. I never really enjoyed going to those things, although I'm grateful that I went at that time. Now that I'm older, I think it has kind of instilled some important things in my life. But like I was saying, like, so probably when I was in second grade or first grade, I was pulled into the counselor's room at my school, and my sister and we were there, and that's kind of when, like, I realized my family was different than everyone else's, and they let, like, my sister and I know that my father, Jim, was moving from our house into a nursing home. And so for, you know, somebody at that age, like, I really didn't understand what that meant, but, like, I just remember turning and seeing my sister start crying. And so then, like, obviously seeing that, like, it made me sad. And and then that, like that kind of, like, was the when I realized, like, things are gonna change. And so from a young age, like, my father, who was physically present but just not able to do things, or even sometimes, like, he just continued to digress. And so my mom couldn't take care of him anymore. And, like, that was, like, a big decision. She just was trying to work, take care of my dad, make sure that my sister and I were playing sports or doing something. Like, so, yeah, so it kind of continued. So he had moved out. So kind of my relationship with him was every Sunday we'd go and visit. And my mom would go as much as she could. And that's kind of like my life. Like, that was all the way up until my junior year of high school. And that's when we were told, like, that first year that he wasn't doing so well, and he got sick with pneumonia, and just body wasn't physically able to fight it. And it was after that, so it was my summer going right before I was a senior in high school, he passed away. We were out in Colorado, Fort Collins, Colorado, and got a call that just due to the sickness, he was unable to continue. And it was really neat, actually, that it happened in a way that, for me, because I knew this man, but I didn't really know, like, my real dad, I guess to say, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Like, because your whole life, you're just dropping in on a Sunday and...
Yeah, it'd be like, but, and then even then, like, it was kind of to the point where the disease wasn't, like, took so much of him.
Yeah.
And physically, he wasn't even able to move very much. And then, like, he also lost a lot of his ability for speech.
Mm-hmm.
And so to think that, like, there's a man that, like, I hear all these great stories about, but then you just never actually get to, like, see in person or, like, to... Like, my dream as a kid was, like, to have my dad come to watch a soccer game and throw the baseball and to do all that. But, like, that's something that I've missed out on in life. And so for me, like, to know that, like, all right, this guy who I know, like, loves me and I truly love him, but just not to really know him mm-hmm. was really tough. Like, still is now, like, to say that, but... So I think, like, that's kind of like my background. That's where I was the kid at like youth group camp getting in trouble for taking the fire hydrants off the walls and spraying the rooms, or to, you know, like, I think, like, I just looked for like joy and acceptance, just like any kid though. Like, I think you're kind of exploring, like, your attitude and who you want to be, and it's crazy. And but I don't think it was, like, directly related to, like, the fact that, like, my family was broken. Or at least I wouldn't say that that was, like, something I processed.
Yeah.
He passed away my junior year, or just after. And then my senior year was kind of just, like, a time of grief. Like, I mean, like, not that, like, I was depressed, but really to grieve and also, like, just go through this time of knowing that this man who has been laying in a bed for almost, like, 15 years of his life is now, like, it gave me, like, more of a almost like a nail in my belief of, like, hey, like, this is, like, if I don't believe what I believe, then I'm never going to see this guy again, and really all this is pointless. But, like, if there's a reason that for me to continue my faith, and is this, and, like, if this is just another opportunity to actually, well, I wouldn't say another opportunity, but this is another reason why I should look forward to believing in God, because maybe one day I'll get to see my dad mm-hmm. and, like, his redeemed walking mm-hmm. self, then, like, why wouldn't I want to believe in God? And, like, why wouldn't I want to have that opportunity? Because inside, that's what I've always longed for.
Yeah.
And so, like, for me, like, that time was a big faith booster mm-hmm. even though it was a really sad time, if yeah. that makes sense. So ended up, that was my senior year, kind of through that time period, and then going into college my freshman year. So I chose to go to Appalachian State University, and I knew kind of I was still involved with my church back home, and they had students from college come and share at our high school, like, youth group, and a big part of that was just being involved, like, get involved with a campus ministry or a Bible study or a church if you can, because it's really easy not to be, and then when you're not being in community, it's really easy to do selfish and
yeah
things that you'll get
yeah
you know not the best decisions. And so my freshman year we went to the career fair, and there's, like, all these different booths, and so it was really not, like, out of any pressure, but I just went up to this one booth, and it looked like there was this man who worked you know, he was out of college, and it actually ended up being a sophomore in college named Jared, named Jared Korber. And I was like, oh, this guy's really cool. And
that's who I met at your wedding.
Yeah.
He's the brother of Kyle Korber.
That's correct.
Plays in the NBA.
Yeah. And
he does look old.
In a good way. Yeah, in a good way. And so I was like, man, this guy's awesome. Like, I love, and then like, it kind of cool. He actually ended up moving in with him his senior, my junior year of college. But we just connected. And so it was neat. Like, I was like, I want to be involved with this campus ministry, which was Campus Crusade or Crew Now. And so that was, I just signed up on their card. And then it was kind of funny. My roommate and I are like sitting.
Which your dad and mom worked for.
Which, yeah. And even, yeah. And even wilder, my dad actually had, I believe he started Crew on Appalachian State
wow.
campus.
Wow. Cool.
So it kind of came around, like, which I knew that, and it wasn't something that, like, I wanted to be like, hey, I want to do this because of that. But rather, I just felt like those people that I felt, like, involved with, I was able to be there.
Man.
And so, yeah, so they came and knocked on our door. We're sitting watching motocross shirtless, laying on our beds with the lights out. And I knock on the door, and I open the door, and I see that it's that guy, Jared, and our crew director. And they're like, hey, do you have a minute? We'd like to talk to you about Crew. And in that moment, like, we were like, sure, come on in. And they just sat down and watched it with us. And then they're like, well, we just, you know, wanted to meet you guys, and we saw that you're interested. So that was, for me, like, another staple in my faith was just being involved in a campus ministry in my college years. And so I think I became, like, the over time, like, I met with Mark Valentine, who's one of the crew directors there at Appalachian State, and I met with him weekly, and it was really cool. Like, he said, with me, just because he knew my background and my history growing up in church and with my parents doing ministry, that he just wanted to have, like, a very simple, realistic approach of, like, hey, let's just meet and talk, and we'll just talk about what's going on in your life. Like, we don't need to be doing a Bible, like, a specific study. We don't need to be going through any books or workbooks, because, like, that honestly, like, if anybody knows me, I'm not very good at those. Like, I feel like I would much rather just go for a walk and you know, realize the beauty of God than go through a workbook about God's creation. So I'm just thankful now that that was how he decided, like, the wisdom God gave him, because I think that encouraged me as well. And so kind of through my college years, it was one of those things that he was kind of just, like, meeting with me weekly. And so there's times, even I remember, like, my sophomore year, I was like, man, I got to figure out if this is, like, really because, like, if this is what I believe or if this is just how I was raised.
Yeah.
And I remember telling him, I think it kind of scared him a little bit, but I was like, I don't know, like, if this is, like, how I want to continue living my life. Because I see friends that were around me that were Christians that then were just like, no, I'm not going to be a Christian anymore. Like, why would I want to do that when, like, all these other things are way much more fun and they, you know, you can enjoy them. But if you're a Christian, you got to not do those things, or you have to choose to live a different way. And so that was like a season of just me pretty much trying to figure out, I guess, like, the best thing I can say was, like, I was, like, wrestling with God. Like, it was like me and him were wrestling between, like, drinking, or, like, I grew up skateboarding, and not to put any stereotypes out there, but a lot of my friends are doing drugs and smoking weed, and that was, like, around me frequently, and especially at Appalachian State University, or any university, I'm sure, but, and it, like, just, like, I think for me, I was trying to process the fact that I'm an adult or young adult at that time, and I have to figure out, like, am I going to do these things, or am I going to choose to live a different way? Even though I have done some of those things, it's, like, one of those, I guess the idea now is that I'm going to stand for Christ. Like, I had to make that decision and that realization then, because I was just being battled back and forth by worldly influences versus my Christian beliefs. And
yeah. So what changed it? What happened that made it kind of drive a nail in the coffin for you? I mean, as far as, like, rejecting that way or that thought?
Yeah, I think just like a lot of, I'm very like, so like some things about me, like I'm very logical, strategic thinking. Like I did the Strength Finders 2.0 study and they're just saying like those things are, so in my mind I was going through, I was like, well, obviously like there's no benefit for me. Like if I get caught with drugs, like that's obviously going on. Like I had friends that would have that. So I'm like, all right, that's not good. Like, and I didn't really even enjoy those things. Like after I took a step back and thought about it, like I didn't enjoy the lifestyle of that, like others were choosing.
Yeah.
And I also like then realized that through like my Christian faith, like I had more offered to me in the long run. Like, and even like I had the opportunity of having joy. Or not having joy, but God has given me joy, in that, like God has given me a second life in His kingdom for eternity. Like after I die, like I'm given life, and just things like that. Like you have to kind of think at them again, or think about that, because sometimes it's easy to forget. Like
yeah,
that like I'm doing this because Christ died for me. Yes, but then also like. This is why like,
yeah.
I need, like, this is, these are other reasons, but also like, so I don't know if that yeah. makes much sense or not, but.
So you in college, then you meet your now wife, and, how did that all happen?
Yeah. So my freshman year of college, I was playing intramural soccer, and there's a girl on the other team that we were playing against. It was a co-ed like league, and I was like, I turned to my roommate, Ben Kern, and I said, Ben, who's that girl? Like, I really like her. And he didn't know. And so after the game that my team had won, we went through the line and said, good game, good game, good game. And I tried to, like, figure out her name, and I found her name. And then so I, like, looked her up on Facebook.
That's Facebook stalked.
Yeah.
That's what me and Tom, we missed out on.
You had to actually go talk
to
him.
We had to really stalk people.
Yeah. We had to actually, like, show up with black on at night, like, with binoculars.
Yep. Been there, done that.
You think that's why, you think he's a helicopter pilot to help save people? Nah, he got his training back in college, swooping down over the dorm rooms.
That's right.
With binoculars hanging off the side. There she is. Okay, back to the story. Yeah, so you meet her.
That's when I realized who she was, and she was dating somebody, so I didn't pursue her, and actually like ended up having a girlfriend later. But I guess to make this shorter, it wasn't until our senior year. So I liked her all 4 years. It wasn't until both of our senior year that I like went to a party for Young Life and Crusade and Christian Fellowship, and like it was like a formal Christmas party for everybody at one of these houses. And so I'm wearing like a khaki pants, a blue shirt, and a red bow tie. She's wearing this red nice dress, and I remember going up to her and saying, hey, like, I'm Jonathan Wilson, it's great to meet you. And even though I knew her name's Katie Ruland at the time, I was like, hey, Katie, you know. And and that was the first time she would say that she remembered meeting me. Now, I do want to say, like, a side note. Freshman and sophomore year, I went to the same church as her and would intentionally sit next to her in church. So when the pastor would be like, turn around and greet your people, your brothers and sisters. And she would turn around and then I'd be like, hey, I'm Jonathan. Like, nice having you. But she never remembered that. And there's another time we played cornhole against each other, or bag, some people call it. And it was my roommate and I versus her roommate. And even now that we're married, she said she remembered my roommate more than she even remembers me being there. So kind of that's kind of like the backstory. But senior year, like,
she was blind, but then her senior year, she was able to see.
That's right. That's right. God gave her new eyes. Her scales fell off. She was just sitting in a coffee shop, and I went up to her and just asked if that seat was available to talk. And she said, sure. And it was really cool how, like, in that moment, I was like, so what are you reading? And we just had a conversation about scripture and about just our summers. And it was kind of like that moment where you really are able to like connect and understand what each other's about.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's good. Well, hey, I tell you what, it's a good let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll hear how Jonathan ended up here in Lexington and how Simple Church is involved in his life. So we'll take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
And now, Acting Out. Acting Out is the segment of our show when we look at the book of Acts in the Bible and find lessons from the early church. In this brief segment, we ask ourselves, if the first century church turned the world upside down then, what could the church today do equally well in the 21st century? There were no needy persons among them, from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 and following. The early church took care of their own. They were of one heart and soul. They recognized and lived by the two greatest commandments: love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So because these two principles were vital to the early Christians, it would have been a terrible contradiction to these principles if anyone among them suffered because they were poor. In order to meet their needs, the early church gladly gave up what they didn't even consider theirs in the first place in order to meet the needs of the poorest among them. At that time, the Jewish law did have some provisions for meeting the needs of the poor. Farmers were to leave behind some of their crop in the field so the poor could pick up the leftovers. Alms were regularly taken up for the poor. But these provisions were just a safety net at the very bottom of the pit. What the early Christians did was to actually give out of a huge sacrifice. To sell land that had been in your family for generations in order to feed the poor was insane. Yet that is exactly what they did. And their sacrificial giving was entirely voluntary. The apostles were not demanding the church to give anything. No one held a sword to their necks to make them give. They didn't impose obligatory taxes. The Christians just gave. And because of their generosity, no one among them suffered any needs. Wow. How do we care for the poor among us today? Do we leave it to the government? After all, we don't get our hands dirty if the government will take care of the poor. Do we leave it to charitable organizations? Perhaps they do a better job than the government, but still, what about the poor right in front of us? What if someone from our own church had a need? Would we leave them to the welfare agencies and charities? Or would we step in ourselves and help? I sure hope we would. If we would serve the poor in our midst, perhaps we wouldn't even need welfare. Imagine that. Let the church show the world how to provide for the poor as we turn the world upside down.
All right, we're back to Keep It Simple podcast, and we got to get today with us. Me and Tom are listening to Jonathan Wilson share his story about what God's been doing in his life and how Simple Church and has gotten involved, intertwined in his story. And Jonathan, you were telling us about how you met your now wife and your senior year, and pick us back up with what's happening there.
Yeah, senior year, it was a little bit strange. I mean, not strange, but just like the fact that you're meeting somebody and you start dating right when you know that you're going to graduate, and who knows like where you're going to go next.
Yeah.
And so I was currently at the time working at a restaurant, and I actually had an extra semester to finish classes, and she was done in May of 2012. And so it was really interesting because that summer she had applied to go to Nepal with Tiny Hands, which is an organization for anti-sex trafficking. And she had gone over there and was working with them. And she hadn't done that quite yet. She was going to Washington, D.C. to work with IJM, International Justice Missions, which is also an anti-sex trafficking organization. And I went to Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, and was working with a good friend of mine named Jerry Roselle, and he has a ministry there on the Outer Banks where it's a skate park that also has an upstairs section with bunk beds where all the guys would stay. And it was almost like a summer internship, or they called it 316 Ministries. And Jerry had been asking me to come out there for 3 years, and finally this was the year I was like, okay, I'll do it. And it was amazing because we would work during the day, and in the evenings we would have different programs for the kids to come, And when we would be available, like weekends, we'd take the kids surfing or we'd go to the beach. But there's a skate park inside this the place we lived in. And there's a movie theater room that they had built. And there's like ping pong and foosball. So it was like the craziest thing. Like, I just started a relationship. My girlfriend is in Washington, D.C., and I'm on the beach of Cape, like, I'm in Hatteras, North Carolina. And my phone is kind of not working the best. So we are communicating through emails. Like, so we had dated 2 months. And so we started dating in April. April 1st, I asked her out. Which she thinks, she gives me a hard time. She's like, yeah, you probably are just joking about it. I thought you were. But so we started dating, and then we go and split for the summer, which I'm really grateful for, because it made our relationship stronger in the ways that we weren't struggling with purity. We truly just were figuring out what each other likes or how our days were going, and just through email. So kind of wild to think that's how your relationship starts with somebody. And after the summer, I finished back with school, so I come back to Appalachian State, and she gets a job working with the church as a office assistant there. And it was during that time she was also applying for other jobs elsewhere. And so we had 6 more months before we had to figure that out. And I finished school and was working full-time at a restaurant and needed just to get out of that environment. The restaurant business is very dark, I guess, for me. I could see that there's a lot of behind the scenes that you don't see when you're actually eating dinner, like, or just the people that are serving you.
Yeah, that's a good reminder for us all when we go out to eat here in a minute.
I've heard it all from my son.
Yeah.
And so I just talked to my boss and said, I need to take a week off and for myself, like my, almost like my belief, like my choosing to follow God, but then also just, I was physically being worked to death. And so I Google searched Christian skateboard camps, and right there, like the closest one to me is in Lexington, Kentucky. And it's with this guy named Gavin Durison and Aaron Hogue with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I've been to an FCA camp before. Let's check this out. So I sent him an email, and they're like, well, you need to fill out this MLA first, which is like a ministry leadership application. It's pretty much your testimony and that you're who you are, you know. It's like they're not going to let anybody come and help. And so that's when I first met you.
Yeah, and that's when I got a call, and I was like, man, who's this guy showing up saying he wants to come up here for a week and volunteer and skate? I was like, man, this is right out of the sky. Thank you, Lord. And, man, then you showed up.
Yeah, I showed up. It was like 3 in the morning because I hit real bad traffic. But I was like, first time I'd ever met you, 3 in the morning, I knock on your door, and you're like fast asleep, and you just open it up, and you showed me to my room. I don't know if you remember that or not. Some random stranger.
Come on in here.
Come on in. And... So I stayed with you that night, and then we got up that morning and went off to camp. And
yeah, so we had a great week, and I can, you know, fill in a little here. I mean, I can remember Jonathan, you know, man, it was just an awesome week at camp. And we for some of you who've listened to this podcast before, the skate part of the Simple Church story for me has a lot to do with this camp, because it was at this camp that we started realizing, hey, we need to continue this and apply some of these principles of house church and things I was reading about at the time and with this community, rather than trying to grab these folks and that are coming to this camp and their parents and bringing them to church. We were like, hey, why don't we bring church to the skate park? And so I think at that time, some of that had began and was starting, but you know, you came to camp, we had a great week. And I remember what you leaving thinking, man, like sometimes, you know, you all probably had this experience where you just, it's just like, it seems like, man, I've known this guy my whole life. Like, and here you were, man, I've been a week, all this camp, we got it, did awesome things, and you were leaving. And I remember just like, man, like weeping. Like, for some reason, I get emotional about stuff, but I was like, man, I just really, man, I loved you. I loved hanging out with you. I wished, I hated to see you go. And then it was probably about 6 months after that, I get a phone call, and you're like, hey, my girlfriend just got this job offer in Lexington. I'm thinking about moving up.
Coming back.
So Jonathan moves in, and I'm like, well, you can stay with us till you get it all sorted out. And
man, I still think back to those days. That was like, I don't know how many months it was. You lived with us, and he was child number eight, or number, household member number eight, child number six in some ways, but kind of brother number three for me. But man, we had a great time hanging out, and the thing I remember about Jonathan is that, you know, I've had a lot of people tell me this over the year, hey, if you can find me a job, like, man, I'll do it. And I had a friend at the time who was a manager at Sam's Club, and I called him up, and he's like, well, I can start him tomorrow if he wants, being a janitor, I need somebody. And you said, yep, and you did it, man. And you worked there faithfully for a while until we went on a ski trip, and you met the guy who was the FCA director who took over for me, and then it was Jonathan's cleaning ability. I get a call from Aaron after a while. He's like, man, he was like, did you know Jonathan, like, he cleaned up the toilets and everything in that cabin without anybody asking him. And that's one thing about Jonathan, about you, I appreciate, is that, man, your servant heart. And when I think of the guys I know that model servanthood, you're one of them. You're at the top. And that was evident. And Aaron was like, hey, what do you think, this guy would want to work with FCA? I was like, man, that'd be awesome. Ask him. And so then you end up coming on staff with FCA. Okay. Yeah. And that's how that all came about. So we got you, and then you got married, and your wife's here and working for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And tell us a little bit about that now and how that intertwines with Simple Church.
Yeah, so part of Simple Church, I guess, is the idea that instead of there's like a pastor and the people come and listen, it's more of everybody is reading God's Word, and then we come together and share that. And as somebody who works with FCA, I didn't want to just have the church mindset where, hey, all these kids come and listen to this talk, but really to challenge the kids to be like, hey, look, what if you guys were the ones reading? What if you guys were the ones preparing a verse, even just like one verse, and how it, what it means to you? And so I work alongside 15-ish other schools here in Fayette and Jessamine County, where my goal is to build up students that are going to be willing to be leaders for FCA by standing up in front of their classmates and being able to share either their testimony or to bring a verse for everybody to talk about. And so I think that's kind of where they cross over. That's where I would say some FCAs don't operate like that, and they would be more like somebody there'll be a leadership team, and the leadership team finds a speaker, and then the speaker comes and speaks to the group. Now that still happens a lot with some of mine for sure, and that's how they want to do it, and that's okay. Like that's how they want to do it. But I think, like, I've noticed that there's more growth within the students if they're willing to take the time and to take even just the discipline to read God's Word and to bring that and share that within the others.
Yeah, they're making disciples and growing as disciples, not just as spectators of the speaker. And there's a value there. But you also been involved in Skate Church. Tell us a little bit about that and how that's worked out for you guys. And I know there's God, I mean, obviously the last several years since you've been here, and there's been some really exciting things that happened through that. And Skate Camp, you're still now you're directing the Skate Camp. I'm sort of the tag along, but we actually got that coming up here in a few weeks, so if anybody out there listening wants to get involved, you can get a hold of us. But tell us a little bit about Skate Church and kind of how that's happened. And we've shared on this podcast before about how, for, you know, early days on, it was kind of Skate Church was sort of one of the foundational things, I think, that helped us kind of get the idea of bringing church to where people are, not bringing people out of their sphere of influence and their comfort zone to come sit in our comfortable church, even in our home. But tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Skate Church, I got involved when I was living with you, and you were just inviting me, hey, come check this out. And when I could, I would go, and it was really neat. But it like, I guess to say doing that is almost like a natural accountability, because if you're not really reading God's Word or hearing or paying attention to maybe the strings God's pulling on your heart, then you really don't have very much to share in the spiritual aspect of things. And so it brought to me like a sense of, hey, I need to be reading the Bible weekly so that when church comes, like, there's things that I can share. And so when you're leading it is one of those things that It was awesome. I felt like we all had things to share, and then you stepped to another church. So then Gavin left and went to another church, and so then it was a group of guys my age sharing, and that was something that we were trying to figure out, like, all right, how are we doing this, because Gavin's not here, you know, there's not that person, and I think you kind of realize, like, that we're not, like, preparing a sermon, like, you're just coming together to pray, to read God, like, share God's word and talk about, like, what you've been doing. And the hard part with specifically with Skate Church is there's a lot of kids that aren't doing that. And so you continually challenge them, hey, bring a verse to share. Hey, what's something that's maybe going on in your lives? And so I think, like, that's a little different than if there's other adults who are wanting to read and share each week. But,
well, I think it can be a challenge for adults too. Sometimes I think if you're, you know, I don't know how Tom would say, but sometimes you're, you know, if you're kind of going with that idea that, hey, let's come here to teach one another, to feed one another, to pray for one another, you know, I think building that culture is very hard in our culture because there's, you know, we're kind of, hey, come, I want to come and get fed rather than come and feed. And that's something we've talked about a lot. And it's, I think, you know, what you're doing with those young men and women is just as challenging sometimes with adults, but yeah, point taken too. So
we like to espouse the participatory aspect of house church, but a lot of people don't want to participate. They're more content to just sit and listen. So,
well, but you, I mean, but God's done. So tell us a little bit, like, when you think back, like, what are some of the things you've seen God do as you've been leading that, you and your wife, like, some of the highlights in your mind? What are, like, when you think, man, this has been really neat to see God do this?
And yeah. So, one of the guys, I'll just say some names, but, like, we got to lead to Christ a few of the kids that come. Like, one of them's name is David, who. Just we were able to continue to see on Sundays and skate together and then invite them to things like our camps in the summer and skate camp. And it was a few, maybe like 3 years ago, where he decided that he wanted to be a Christian and to choose to follow Jesus. And so he accepted Christ. And then it was probably about a year later where we were just out skating, me and Josh Roberts and David and I, and he was like, hey, I want to get baptized. And so, like, that night we went to I lived in an apartment that had a pool, and that night, like, we had texted a group of people and they all came out, and it was like lightning and it hadn't started raining yet, but it was kind of cool and scary at the same time. And we get into the pool and I baptize David, and then we go out and get milkshakes after to celebrate. And so that's one story. Another guy's name is Zach Whitlock, who is also, he's probably about 18 years old. And just to have him come to skate camp maybe a year ago, and during that time, he just heard the gospel. He heard what Jesus did for him. And in his life is, I mean, a lot of these guys have stories that are really difficult, like family-wise, but then also just... not like I don't even know how to describe it. They just really look for community, and at the skate park, because they skateboard, that's their community. And when they're not there, it's just like they're kind of nobodies. And it's been really neat, because through that culture of skateboarding, I've just built relationships with these guys. And
in a lot of ways, you're doing what that guy did for you at Appalachian State. I see that in you. You know, you really took that idea of friendship, which is something we've talked about, is discipleship has a lot to do with friendship. It's not running someone through a curriculum or anything, but it's being there and present. Yeah. And you do an awesome job at that, man. You're an example to me about that, and I really appreciate that. Go ahead.
What are some of the, I'm just curious, what are some of the challenges you have, you know, working with skateboarders in general, or working with a transient group like that? What are some of your challenges and victories?
I think a big part of it is, well, they're kids is kind of a challenge. So they're still not, like, I would say, just a few weeks ago, they were picking on somebody else, and that, like, comes to the attention of us, and we're like, hey, like, we're, you know, this isn't what we believe in. And I think, like, then it was a cool opportunity to talk about, like, being willing to, like, go and forgive or say that you're sorry and kind of mend those relationships. So I think the first challenge would be just, like, knowing they're still going to make a lot of mistakes. Like, that is huge. There's kids that have come to Skate Church that I know are choosing to live a life that's still with not Christ-like. They're mm-hmm. still doing selfish things, and they're doing things that are even illegal. And I think for me, like, just to, like, my first reaction is like, man, why are they doing that? And then, so this is a challenge for sure, is to still then be like, hey, I still need to choose to love them, like, when I see them, even if they're doing these things. Like, I still need to be the one to go and talk to them and see how they're doing, instead of, you know, choosing to almost, like, exclude them like the other kids are doing. Like, they're kind of pushing them away. Another challenge, just specifically with Skate Church, is if it rains and we meet outside at a skate park, a lot of the kids live in that area, and so there is a gazebo right next to the skate park that we'll meet under, but if it's raining, they don't want to walk through the rain to get to that gazebo. So mm-hmm. second challenge is just having them and the accessibility to church. Like, we've met in one of the houses of the student or the kids, which has been really cool because their parents were there and other family members and kids were there to join us. And they've been like, hey, you can use this location whenever you're available, like, whenever you need to come and use this. So that's been really neat. And then the last challenge is just to get more involvement with their parents. So mm-hmm.
right.
if they're not willing to host, or, like, the idea is that everybody's welcome. We want their, you know, their parents or whoever they're living with, grandparents. And that might just be a challenge of those specific people, because a lot of them are working or they're not there or have never really been involved in their lives. So that, I think that's tough to have not just the kids come, like, we would love more of their family members to join us.
One thing I know that you do, it's cool, is we've talked about on this podcast, is like a life transformation group with some of the older skaters, and now you've even been asked to do a wedding here coming up pretty soon. That's exciting.
Yeah. It's going to be fun because it'll be my first one, and I need to start practicing.
Well, listen, man, we really appreciate you taking time to come in here and share some of this. And I know if anyone out there listening, you know, the thing I hope you get encouraged is this: one, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. He's seeking you. And, you know, Jonathan does a great job at just loving people. And I know that a lot of us probably have things in our past that seem like, you know, I just, when I see you, Jonathan, I just see that, you know, your whole story. And that's why I wanted you to share it, just with kind of your background. Like, it's so awesome to see you being a dad to a lot of these young men that I know that you know, you longed for, you know, rather than being bitter towards God, and just hearing how God's woven his story in your life is just so encouraging. And, you know, I think that it would have been so easy to turn your back on God, like so many do, and say, why would God do this to me, and therefore check out, you know. But the things that have been hurtful to you, God's using to bring healing in your life as you seek to be that person to others. And I just think, man, it's such a great encouragement. And I know that if anyone out there is interested in Skate Church or, you know, anything like that, you can get a hold of Jonathan, contact us. We'll put you in touch with him and Josh Roberts, who we need to get on here as well, who's been a part of that and has got another skate church that he's doing in Nicholasville, Kentucky. You know, it's really been cool to see that. And you know, any given snapshot of a week, I'm sure there's discouragements. You show up and there's two kids there or whatever, but it is when you know, all the things that you're sharing have happened in the course of a few years, and man, those are just so awesome, you know, to think back to. It's like, wow, like, you know, you take a bird's eye view of things, and it's just so cool to see God doing things. And I know that all these people, I'm sure you would say, hey, pray for David, pray for all these folks, and because God's really doing a really cool thing in a lot of their lives. But it's just, we all know, somebody becomes a Christian, it doesn't mean it's over. You know, it's just the beginning.
It's just the beginning.
So I don't know if you got anything else to add to it, but man, we appreciate you coming on. We'll give you a stab to wrap things up.
We usually do a thing called Stuff I Like, and we kind of share about something that we like. I don't know if we'll let you kind of own that today. Do you got anything that you're kind of into right now that's kind of on topic or off topic?
Yeah, I recently I just started watercoloring. And
wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so when it's snowing and it's cold outside and you don't have anything else to do, that's what I like. Like, I like that's to watercolor. Neat. So I've just recently started doing that. And actually have done a graphic for Fortress Skateboards, which is a skateboard company by Josh Roberts, and watercolored a painting for him, and now he's using it for a graphic. So that's nice. Something. And but even to go larger than just watercoloring, a lot of the things that I find to try to paint are from Pinterest. So,
you like Pinterest?
I've been on Pinterest.
It's okay. Even, yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah, even on recently, I'm building a bed frame, and it's almost like whenever you search on Google, it's always like a Pinterest website. So it's like, great, like I'm back on Pinterest again. Like, I'm gonna start crafting and watercoloring and.
Pinterest yeah. is the new college.
Right? Oh man! Well, hey, I tell you one thing. I think this might be a repeat, but I'll just plug it real quick too. Man, you, Jonathan and Josh and a lot of the guys at Skate Church worked tirelessly for several years to do an awesome skate video called Seek First, and I think people can find that online. It's an awesome skate video. It's got you guys sharing your testimony and doing your best tricks over like a 2-year, 3-year period. That's available, I think. You can search that right on YouTube.
YouTube Seek First.
Yeah.
And it'll come up, skateboarding.
Yeah, cool. Well, man, thanks for joining us, and we wish you the best. We'll be praying for you guys, and I hope to have you back sometime in the future.
Thank you, John.
Yeah. All right, we'll see you guys next time on Keep It Simple Podcast.
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.